it. Showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, there you go. Turn that mic on. It works wonders, man.
All right, Rex Road.
I don't know, man. It felt good. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Storm's out of the way. It's cold out there today, but it's going to warm up. Here's your 7 day. It'll be a high of 54 today. Tomorrow, 68. Storms rolling through on Thursday. But, Chase, for the first time in a long time in the 7 day, no severe weather alerts.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now in sports, the Florida Gators are national champions in college basketball after defeating the Houston Cougars 65-63 in a game that I would classify as a dandy last night.
It was pretty frustrating, but it was a good game, and they came back and they won. No, it was the most frustrating, beautiful, fun game I think I've ever seen. And real quick,
the refs swallowed the whistle at times.
So for some reason, I'm still signed up to my Indeed account.
Oh,
and I just got an alert that said the Tennessee Titans are hiring for vice president of football communications. Came rolling across, so I'm going to take a second to apply for that.
Go ahead. We should just do that, like, on the air.
Right.
And read out, like, all the things.
And then put down references and just make up, like, Joe Namath, Bud Adams.
Robbie Bourne.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. No, back to the basketball game.
Jared Stillman.
Oh, God. There's keywords in there. Somebody told me that Amazon, that they get so many resumes that they have this automated thing that it pings for keywords in your resume. If they don't like it, you're gone. Can you imagine if they have that and you put Jared Stillman in there?
Oh.
I mean, you'd be sent to the trash bin in 2 seconds. No, the game last night was great. They let them play. We were texting each other. They let them play last night. It was a lot of fun. I get all that. But this going down the court and jacking up 30-footers is driving me crazy.
That's college basketball. That's
crazy.
What it is now. I agree with you, but that's what it is now. I hate it too. I'm traditional. You know, put the big man in the paint and drive to the paint.
Yeah.
You know, I always was taught if you have the ball and you have an open lane, you drive to the basket, you shoot, and you try and draw the foul. You either make the basket or draw the foul.
Will Wade tell you that?
No.
An FRA?
No. I didn't really know Will. I mean, he was already gone when I was
no,
there.
No.
His brother.
For the show purposes, you know him.
Okay. Yeah, we're best friends. So
there you go. In there. Florida had a guy last night. He got the ball. I swear he was in the middle of the paint, 5 feet from the rim, and he flung it back out for a guard to miss a 23-footer. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Just take it inside and pound it in there. But Houston did something last night I've never seen in a basketball game, which I thought was great. They didn't rebound. You know what they did? They slapped the ball back out. That's all they did. So when you're going for a rebound, if you know you're not going to get it, slap it. And they were slapping it back out to the guards. I'm like, this is genius. But, again, we talk our story all the time. Don't ever quit. Florida last night could have just packed it in. They were frustrated. They didn't quit, and they won the game.
Well, I don't think either team quit. I mean, it was that's what I love, that it came down to the wire. I hate that it ended the way that it did with a player that had been – you know, so phenomenal in this tournament and had been such a big part that basically he's getting caught with a walk and couldn't find anybody to get the ball to. And credit to Florida. I mean, both defenses I thought really played well and did their job to keep the other one out of it. But ultimately Florida was able to get that last bucket that counted.
Question for you.
Okay.
You're down two, 65-63. You've got an open 10-footer to tie. Or you pass it back out to a guy who's kind of covered for a 25-footer to win the game. What do you do?
I'm taking the 10-footer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't Houston try to work it in?
If I'm wide open for a 10-footer, I'm taking that.
Exactly. Tie the game, go to overtime.
I really thought we were getting overtime. I really, really did. I was like, okay, Houston's got, well, they have like 13, 14 seconds, something like that. I'm like, all right, they're going to take it down court. They're going to drive in, tie it. We'll go to overtime.
Yep.
That's really what I thought was going to happen. And then they could not – they couldn't – they were stuck on the perimeter.
Yep.
I mean, they could not get in. And so then it's like, oh, no, they're going to have a desperation shot. And then time ran out.
It was just – that's how it ended. I don't know if it rivaled Weber, when he called the timeout in 93, was – he played his butt off, and you don't give him a – you give him grief for what he did, but he played his butt off. That play last night was kind of in the same vein where he just jumped up and knew he didn't have it, and great play altogether. It reminds me of Fred Brown in 82 for Georgetown when he passed the ball to James Worthy and lost the game for Georgetown then. It's just a great ending. You feel bad for Houston, but good for Florida. They become the only school, Chase McCabe. Three basketball championships, three football championships.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that.
So if you're a Tennessee fan and you're like, oh, man, yeah, SEC, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. You wanted Florida to lose and lose bad.
Greg Sankey is happy today, I'm sure.
He is.
Because they needed, you know, for the narrative of being such a dominant conference, they needed to walk away with the trophy. And they did.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that. That's right.
You had 14 teams in the tournament. And, you know, I mean, I didn't buy a scenario where they were going to have two SEC teams in the title game, but you had to have one, and then you needed to win it. And they did. So,
man, good for them.
You know, so, I mean, it was a good year for the SEC, for sure. But that's an interesting little nugget there. Three football championships and three basketball championships.
I can't take credit for that. They flashed it at the end of the game last night.
Have they ever won in baseball?
Yeah. Right? They have? I think they have.
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
I know they've won like...
What about women's basketball?
Eight? No. I know they've won like so many softball championships. But let me see baseball. That's a great question there, Chaser. And while you're doing that, talk among yourselves about good biscuits around town.
Yeah. Well, there are some good ones. You know, maybe some former GMs want to call in and gloat. I don't know.
I'd say biscuits do sound pretty good right now.
Biscuits do
with some jelly. Mm.
But I mean, it is quite the accomplishment, and you know, especially for that program that it's come around in a shorter amount of time. Like, they weren't good last year.
Florida has never won a baseball championship.
Okay, all right.
I am going Florida State, Miami of Florida. I mean, I'm back to the '60s. Holy cow, I thought for sure, because they're competitive every single year.
They've won 16 SEC championships.
All right, they lost in 05 in baseball. They lost in 11 in baseball. And they lost in 23 to Paul Skeens in the championship. They've never won.
There
Florida,
you go.
Yeah. Sorry, man, about that.
Some may say it's a beautiful sight to see.
Hold on, let me look again. Wait, they won in 2017.
I was thinking
my Wikipedia is all jacked up. Okay, they won in 2017, and they've been to the finals three times. All right,
there you go.
So yeah, so good for them. Softball's won numerous times at Florida.
Todd Golden's only 39 years old, has now won a championship.
Bruce Pearl disciple.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, Billy Donovan won those two back to back. I mean, Florida now it's obviously a different world now.
It is a different world.
With NIL and the transfers and all that stuff, but you win a championship, now you're popular, and so there are players that probably are going to be interested in your program. Who's to say they couldn't do it again? Then he's right there on the same in the same breath as Billy Donovan, who just got elected into the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Well, Billy Donovan was a great guard at Providence, led into the Final Four in 1987. Last night, who's the Belmont guy? Will Clennard.
Yeah,
that plays for Florida now. And we talked last night how these mid-major guys are now getting to the portal and bouncing up to the big schools. And the mid-major days are done. The upsets are done. That's because
– Will Richard.
Richard?
Richard.
Richard?
Is it Richard? It might be Richard.
Is it Will Richard?
But it's spelt weird, like R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
Well, it's looks
Richard.
Like Richard.
Richard?
Richard.
Richard? I say Will. What's his first name?
Yeah.
That guy from Belmont.
That guy.
That transfer.
He is the guy from Belmont.
Yeah. Yes. But you look at Dalton Cadet, came from North Colorado. Who's the guy that came from North Florida that played at Tennessee this past year? Macklin or one of those guys that went to Innsworth? What's that guy's name?
Yeah. I don't know. You're asking me all these.
Right. Anyway, he was a mid-major
guy. I just watch
the
games, man, okay? I don't know where everybody came from.
So now if I'm like Tennessee, I have a coach, I have a staff who scouts mid-majors and goes and gets them. That's what it is now. I mean, I'm MTSU football, for example, lost like seven or eight guys to big time. And I get it, to big time programs. And that's how you're playing the game now. You're just a stepping stone. And guys are auditioning in mid majors in college, baseball, football to get to the next level. And I don't blame them for doing that.
No, I don't either. But I mean, that's the game that you have to play. Like, if you're a mid major, you just have to capitalize on the time you have with a guy, or also capitalize on getting these guys that go to the big schools, don't get the playing time, want to play, you go get them for a year, and then know you got to do it all over again.
Does it sound good, though, if you're a coach? Let's take Nick McDavid at MTSU.
Yep.
Say each year he gets two or three guys poached, go to the big time, and do good. I think that benefits Nick McDavid.
I think it does.
Well,
yeah.
Because he saw talent in them when these big schools did not see that and developed that talent.
Here's what's interesting. If you look at Florida's roster on their actual website, it tells you what school they came from. It tells you their high school, their hometown, and then if they transferred. Like Walter Clayton was at Iona. They had a – we talked about a kid from Belmont. They had a kid from Chattanooga as well. So –
wait, Walter Clayton? I had no. So was he at Iona with Rick Pitino?
I think so.
Wow, that's very cool. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I mean, look, it's what, and the fact that you got, you know, coaches like, now, look, St. John's is a pretty big established program in college basketball, but you know, I think you look at what Will Wade did at McNeese State. He was able to bring in some of those guys that, hey, come here for a year. And then see what happens. And I bet you a bunch of them are going to go with them to NC State. So
it's a good way to recruit, man.
It's the way it is.
Come now, here so, for 1 year. Let's do it together and see what we got. And they had a hell of a run.
They did. So they won a tournament game for the first time in their history. So
who beat them in the second round?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't in one shiny moment, I don't think.
So. No, what? You were in there last night. I was proud of you.
Thank you. Thank
just
you.
Walking the sidelines, man. I was like, oh, my God, there's Chase.
You want to do this now or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's just get it over with.
Yep.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHaunted.com, 615-737-1025. Gator Mike has called in to gloat. Hello, Gator Mike.
Is this a glorious day, Chase? My coffee tastes great today. Birds are singing, and I get to talk to Chase and Big Joe first thing today. How about that?
How about that? I mean, how about your Gators?
Hey, I was telling y'all all along, I was feeling good about this team, the depth, the shooters. Yeah, it wasn't a pretty game last night, but they did what they had to do to be the one standing at the end. So what a great year, great moment for the SEC. Toughest division in basketball this year. SEC as a whole did well for the whole tournament. I mean, it was just – we couldn't have – I mean, even as a partial fan, but impartial fan, you couldn't have asked for a better Final Four and championship game weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was an entertaining tournament. It didn't have the upsets that people are used to. But in some ways, I mean, when you get the best teams that end up in the Final Four and then ultimately the championship game, I think you'll take that. So I agree with you. I thought it was really entertaining.
No doubt. But, Joe, let me ask you a question. Do you know the only school in the country that has three football national championships and three basketball championships now?
I do. That'd be Samford University. They've got those.
He led the show with this, Mike. So he's way ahead of you.
So hey, I thought he was going to say, like, Samford or something.
No. Yeah, all right. So let me ask you this, Mike. What's a better team, this 25 Florida team or the 06 or 07 Florida teams?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You know, that's tough. We had that debate earlier, some friends of mine and stuff. I mean, I give the edge kind of just to the 06, 07 team just because they were younger and they like transition like this team. But, you know, each team had its own thing. But as far as all around, I mean, you know, when you got Joe Kim Noah as your center, Al Horford as your power forward, you have Corey Brewer, which, you know, he's a mismatch at 6'9". And then you have Lee Humphrey, who could just shoot it on the outside. And Tarion Green was such a great point guard, kind of a Walter Clayton type. Walter Clayton's definitely a better shooter, could take it to the rim better. But, I, with Condon and Chinyelu, I just don't think they would have had the total matchup for Joakim Noah and Al Horford on the inside. So I would probably give it to that 06-07 team. Definitely if it's the 07 team, right, because they have another year under their belt. But
right,
that first year, I think this team takes it because of all the senior leadership on that team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mike, thanks for the call. Congrats.
Hey, thanks again, buddy. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Our buddy Gator Mike.
Our buddy Gator Mike. Can we in the next, not next segment, but later on, can we read a description for the job for communications lead at, yes. for the Titans?
Yes, we'll do that later. Coming up next, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When it comes to the current state of college athletics, but mainly basketball.
Okay.
And how it might affect things moving forward based on this tournament that we saw.
Look at you.
Florida wins 65-63 over Houston. We'll discuss that and much more here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a good start to your day. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, as always, about great service. Florida defeats Houston last night in the national championship game. So my question for you, Joe, is we kind of know the lay of the land with college sports. We had a situation with this tournament where there weren't really any major upsets. And then ultimately you have all number one seeds get into the Final Four. Is that the future? Is that what this tournament looks like? And I know some people might be like, oh, I hate that. You know, I love the upsets and all of that. And that's true. It's definitely one of the reasons why it has the name March Madness. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this was a good tournament. There were competitive games. I mean, you had two Final Four games that ended up being close. You had comebacks, collapses, however you want to put it, and then you had the same thing in the national championship game. So are you good with kind of the direction here? And then, you know, a college sports question overall is – what's going to be the formula? Because if you put Houston, like if you went and reset the Final Four and played it again this weekend, you probably have a different outcome. Like I think they're that close together that
the top teams.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like you could play that 5 weekends in a row. Four weekends in a row, you probably get four champions.
Yeah.
Like I think they're that close.
I agree.
So what's the formula for being a tick better than another team that's just as good as you?
Desire? Are you talking about individual?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if this is what we're going to get moving forward.
Right. Well, I mean, look, you had it in the 80s, too. Look at the 82 North Carolina team that took on the 82 Georgetown team. I mean, you had it there. You had it also going down. I mean, the 92 North Carolina team, the 93 team that Carolina beat Michigan. I mean, there's always the great and elite. We talked about this. The lowest seed to ever win was the 8 seed Villanova. So there's always the good teams are going to be there. This is amplified now because of NIL, what's going on. The Belmonts aren't going to happen anymore. The MTSUs aren't going to happen anymore in the tournament. They're just not. And if they do, we celebrate those. When Greg Sankey's wanting to kick them out of the tournament, says, well, let's guarantee each team conference this many teams. That's no fun. Why do we like March Madness?
Because of the unpredictability?
Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
That's why we love the March Madness. When Bryce Drew hits a shot for Valpo, they knock off Ole Miss whoever.
Right. But don't you like a really good basketball game, like the back and forth? Like last night was a good basketball game. Last night was fun to watch.
All the games
Saturday
were fun.
Was fun to watch.
It was the closest Final Four combined closing score of all like 11 or yeah. something. It was the games were good. There you go. The three games in the Final Four were good. It's changed. It's not going to happen anymore. We're not going back that way. We are not going back that way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's college sports. You look at football, it's going to be, you know, you have a 12-team playoff right now. You're going to have different teams maybe get in that last spot. But for the most part, you can pretty much count on every year you're going to have – you know, an Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame will get in there every now and then. Tennessee will get in there every now and then.
So let me ask you this.
You know, I mean, you're going to have the blue bloods.
Right.
Because as now that you have the freedom to go wherever you want to go, if I – say I'm a 4-star – heck, I'm a 3-star out of high school.
Okay, basketball, football.
Football.
All right.
And I go to MTSU.
All right.
And I have a really, really good year.
See ya.
For Coach Mason. Coach, appreciate you. See ya. I'm going in the portal. Well, all of a sudden, you know, because I put up you know, 10 touchdowns and close to 1,000 yards or whatever, I'm going to be hearing from Alabama. I'm going to be hearing from Tennessee, like all the SEC teams. I'm going to hear from the Big Ten. I'm going to have my choice and be able to go wherever I want to go.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Yeah. I'm just saying, but it's free agency, and you're going to have the same team. So every now and then you're going to have a lucky team kind of get in there and put it all together.
So what are you getting at?
I kind of forgot my point when I was talking, to be honest with you.
So let me ask you this.
I was hoping I'd remember it.
All right, so that's a good example. All right, let me ask you this. Arkansas football has the best facilities. It's nice. Yeah. Their facilities are nice. Do you think, Chase McCabe, that they'll be in the college football playoff in the next 10 years? Be honest.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So
My point is, knowing that you know this now, that this is where it is, but – in return, I'm going to give you games like you saw this weekend. Are you going to take that?
Sure.
Okay, so it goes back to, and again, football and basketball is
this way too deep for 926.
Apples and oranges little bit. But it kind of goes back to, if you know you're going to get, like especially in football, the same teams pretty much for the most part, then I still would argue that the mid-majors, the group of five, they need their own champion. You need to do something with that.
Nobody's going to watch
because
that.
Because here's the deal.
Nobody's going to watch that.
I disagree. I think people will watch it.
You're going to watch MTSU take on Iona and the mid-major national basketball championship?
About basketball. Just the tournament. Leave the tournament alone. The tournament is what the tournament is.
You're talking football?
I'm talking football. That you get their own champion in football. Because the answer to your question is, let's say it's MTSU and Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Memphis.
I'd watch that. Now, Memphis, you know, but
that's interesting.
Don't put it up against the college football playoff. But
it's UFL versus NFL. Nobody's going to watch that. That's the problem.
It's better than UFL. Don't do that.
UFL? What's the UFL little brother to? NFL. What's a mid-major?
Dog, it's
national
not even. It's not. It's not even a little brother. It's like you're third cousin twice removed.
Okay.
Canadian football over UFL.
Come on, Joe. I mean, this is a different, like.
You need to keep your mouth shut.
Joe, if I told you, hey, you can go watch a group of five football game or the UFL, you're taking group of five all day
I'm
long.
I'm just saying, in comparison to what they're trying to accomplish, the group of five and the big boys, you're not watching the group of five.
The group of five is closer to the power four than the UFL is to the NFL.
But it's still a little brother.
Sure.
You're not watching the group of five. You are not watching the group of five in December because they got bowl games they go to that they make more money off of. They're not going to do a group of five tournament.
I actually am because I'm betting on it usually.
You're going to come in here and say, man, did you see that Memphis Southern Miss game? Like, no, I didn't because I was watching – that bowl game or that. I
right,
get what
but
you're
you
saying.
Can't, but you
got a big heart. I get it. It's not going to happen. You're selling me a sales guy? I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it. No offense. I'm not buying it.
As much as you love football, you would watch it.
I don't think so. I'd rather see MTSU take on Toledo in the Boca Raton Bowl. That's more fun for me.
Okay. Well, make the – I don't know. I don't know.
I get
know
what you're saying. But you got it. The bottom line is revenue and money. People aren't going to watch that.
Right.
They're going to go to the bowl games.
615-737-1025. Let's get Trey in real quick. Trey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I just want to give a shout out to the Florida team. They played a great game last night. And you want me to tell you who was the X factor?
Tell me.
Elijah Martin. He was the X factor. He hit them two free throws to close it out. He did a great job. And he's a hometown boy from Summit, Mississippi. He went to North Pike High School. He's, I'm proud of him. And shout out to all the Martins. And y'all have a good day. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate
Trey.
The call.
615-737-1025.
We'll get back to your calls, back to your texts coming up a little later in the show. But coming up next, Preds back in action tonight. Our man Hal Gill, who just celebrated a birthday. We will have Skillsy on. Talk about that coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Predators back in action tonight. We say hello to Mr. Hal Gill. Hal, happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
This was a big one, right? When this
This is a 5-0, yeah.
The big 5-0. Well, congratulations, and I hope you had a good birthday and all of that. I know the Preds game didn't go to plan, but I thought it was. I mean, I like the way that they have played, especially against Montreal. That goal getting called back was a killer, though.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But I feel I agree with you. They're playing hard. They're doing some good things. The same old thing. Like when they play well, they can't find a way to score goals, and it costs them. But you know, in the end of you're looking at these young guys and how they're going to compete, and you know, maybe it's a good thing because you want to get your draft position as good as you can get, but at the same time, you want to play good hockey because you want to feel good about it. But yeah, no doubt it's frustrating for some of the veterans, but the younger guys, I think, are just trying to get into the hunt and figure out their game.
Islanders come into town tonight, and there's two things in play here. One, they're fighting for a playoff spot. They're probably out of it, but you know, still trying to stay in the mix and stay relevant there. And two, they're just coming off of a game where they're on the other side of history. In Alex Ovechkin breaking the goal record. So, I mean, does that kind of motivate the Islanders a little more coming into this one tonight?
Yeah, no, I was watching that game, and of course everyone wants to see history with Ovechkin scoring the goal, and it was perfect. It was amazing. It was his vintage shot, just letting it rip, and he gets the goal, and then it's, 25 minutes that they had to wait during the second period, and the Islanders are sitting there going, guys, I don't know if you know this, but this is kind of a big game for us. Like we need a win here. We need to play this game or we're going to be kicked out of the playoffs. So they get that win and now they want to stack them together. And, you know, they were hoping Nashville would help them out and take Montreal down a peg. And then they could come in here and beat the Preds. And so I'm sure they're dying. I've been in that position, and we've seen the Preds in that position where you need every point you can get. And so this is a huge 2 points for them to stay in the mix.
I thought it was interesting. Barry Trotz, you know, was on the TV broadcast the other night, and obviously he coached Alex Ovechkin in Washington, won a Stanley Cup with him. And we're biased. We love Trotzy here in Nashville, but I do think Alex's game kind of changed when Barry got to Washington, because as Barry has talked about, he got Alex to play all aspects of the game and made him a better hockey player. We always knew he was going to score goals. That was kind of the easy part for him. But how much did you see Ovechkin's game change when Trotz got to Washington?
Yeah, I think there was a buy-in. And I think, I'm saying this with a grain of salt, because I think when the game matters, when he needs to compete and battle, that's when he raises his game. If you watch the game, and I've seen him, regular season, Ovi is a different breed. I don't think he took a full stride the whole game and still scored, the most goals ever. And he got the big goal, but watching that game, he didn't make a stride. He didn't skate at all. But when he needs to turn it on and the team needs it, he can dig in. And he's a monster. You know, he's 6'3", 240, just a beast. And when he wants to put someone down, he can. And he has that defensive awareness that I think, you know, in large part, he got with Trotzy. Trotzy kind of tightened the screws on him. And so he's aware of the game he needs to play. I'm not saying he plays it all the time, but when they need it, he steps up big time. And the bottom line is, I always told the skilled players, like, I don't care. Don't worry about playing defense. I'll cover for you. I'll kill a penalty, and you just wait for the puck. We'll get it up to you. But you better score goals. And that's what he's done. And he's had a heck of a season, 41 goals, and he's 39 years old. So I'll take that on my team any day.
Talking to Hal Gill in the Chasing Big Joe show. Hal, 5 games left for the Preds, and I know you hate this question, and I hate asking it, like, oh, what's there left to play for the Predators tonight? But, I mean, Adi, what's your motivation to go to the arena tonight? I know you want to win the game and you get paid and all that other stuff, but deep down, what gets you fired up for tonight when you really have nothing to play for? I hate saying that.
Well, first of all, you got a lot of guys that have a bunch to play for. This is their audition. They have 5 games left.
Matthew Wood is going out there like he's dying for this game. You know, he just got one under his belt. He wants to go prove himself again. And you have a long list of those guys. Look at the back end, you know, Delgado, and Englund is out there fighting, chucking bombs. That fight was insane. You know, he's got something to play for. You go up and down the list with Stastny. Then you go to the fourth, Svechkov and Evangelista. All these guys are trying to prove themselves so that they can be in the mix next year. And this is their final audition. As a veteran, losing sucks, guys. I don't care when, you know, obviously you want to play for the cup. It means more when you have a chance to win the cup and you want to get into the playoffs. And that's when you, you know, good things can happen for your career. And as a veteran, you want to be in the mix. But still, winning is a heck of a lot of fun. And so I think these guys are going out there and they want to play right. They don't want to be embarrassed. They want to compete and they want to show that they care and they want to win. And so I think that's the bottom line. You look at what O'Reilly has done. He's kind of the consummate professional, but he just loves winning. He loves competing and he wants to prove it again tonight.
I love having guys like that. Somebody asked me about the prospects and the Predators, and I'm like, look, I can barely remember who the head coach is. When you talk about the future of the Nashville Predators, I mean, can you put it together like, look, coming up, they got these guys, and this guy is going to be good, or is it all a wait and see?
I think there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, you know, between the end of this season, and, you know, that's why guys are trying to influence decisions with how they play in these last five games. But, you know, as soon as the season ends, there's going to be exit meetings and there's going to be, you know, ultimately the coaches, the staff, the brass, Trotsky's got a lot of triggers to pull and he's got to pull the right ones. And whether that's moving guys or, you know, you have cap space, you have draft capital, you know, do you want to retool and make it work now? Because you have the veterans in place that are going to be here. Do you want to just burn another year and kind of wait to get some of those draft picks to hit and some of the prospects to pop up? Or do you want to retool it, sign some free agents, and move some of those draft picks to get better players? There's a lot of things that can go in, and, you know, they have to figure out the coaching staff. Is Bruno in with Trotsky? And Trotsky, does he feel comfortable with that? More importantly, do the players feel comfortable with that? And so I think there's got to be a lot of hard conversations and a lot of deep dives into where this organization is going to go, because there's a lot of ways it could go. You know, some teams are bumped up against the cap. They don't have draft picks.
Right.
They got to go get free agents. There's a lot of options that the Preds have, and, you know, it's going to depend on where their draft goes, and is it a player that they want to see soon, or is it something that they want to wait on? Do they want to move some of those picks and trade for a guy? Do they want to go out and get, you know, an offer sheet for a restricted free agent? Like, those are the things that they need to talk about, because, you know, they could retool and turn this around and have a competitive team next year, or they could buy the time and wait till the right time to strike. I don't know all those answers. Barry Trotz, I don't think, knows all those answers right now, but I know Barry, and he's going to turn over every stone to see what he should do next year.
Tell me real quick, the exit interview, is that where they're brutally honest with you? Do they make jokes? Do you joke about, I mean, how does this work? I've never had an exit interview. It's always been, hey, just get the hell out of here.
It's rough. I won't lie to you. You know, the season ends, and the first thing you want to do is go to the bar with the boys and just wash it down and put it to bed. And on a losing season, it's the worst. You know, you're just dreading that. As a younger guy, you're nervous as hell because you're going to sit in there with the coaches and you're going to go through the season and what you need to improve on. And, yeah, it's going to be a hard conversation. As a veteran, it's, you know, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? Are you going to be around, or are you going to get moved? And what do you need to do to be a better leader, to be a better player?
Wow.
And it's honest and it's tough, and you're more than likely hungover, and you don't want to sit there and deal with it. But it's it's something you have to go through, and you have to bury the hatchet. And, you know, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. And as a player, you're thinking, am I that decision, or where do I end up? And you have those hard conversations. And I did it with Trotsky, and, you know, it's tough. And I did it with David Poyle. That was a tough one too. You know, it's just, you know, in a losing season, it's the worst. So I feel for these guys, but it needs to be said. The air needs to be cleared. And then you go into the summer with, you know, a fresh reset.
Yep, and that reset is coming very, very soon. Hal, appreciate the time as always, and we will see you tonight.
Sounds good. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Absolutely. Hal Gill joining us here on the program, as he does every Tuesday at 9:30.
Hal's like, oh, God, they're calling again. Oh, hell.
I don't think it's that way by any means.
I got a question, well, just for the next segment, about the Predators. And I'm looking at all the leagues. What do you think, Chase McCabe, is the most hapless franchise? I mean, you just never talk about them. They're never brought up. There's one on here that I kind of feel sorry for. And it could be any league, but this is an NBA team.
Okay.
That's very hapless.
We will discuss that coming up next. Tune into Sports Talk 8:30 tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds. Pre-game at 6:20. First pitch at 6:35.
What time's that game tonight?
6:20 pregame.
It's not a home game.
It is. All right, first pitch at 6:35.
Against Memphis.
Against Memphis. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. It's a deep cut.
Yeah,
Jason,
well,
Big
done.
Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. It's a good one.
It is. A little Buffett, a little live Buffett right there.
A little
there.
Live Buffett. We love live Buffett.
We do, man. That's a good tune right there. Off the Feeding Frenzy album, right, Dr. Crane?
That is right.
That is correct, Joe.
Okay, what's the mess up? You're acting like you're...
Well, here's the deal. He said Feeding Frenzy live off that album. I was going to play it.
Margaritaville.
And it's on a list, and so it's not the first on the list. So okay.
It's all right, buddy.
I was preoccupied with other things on my computer, and Joe's over here looking at me like
well,
I'm...
I need you to be 100% occupy with this show.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I don't care about your, you know, deli meats and all that stuff back there.
Easy, so. Easy. Watch your mouth there.
Right? I'm kidding. All right. Hapless franchises.
Yeah. So going down the list, I mean, do we ever talk? Has anybody ever talked about
this show is a hapless franchise?
Well, that we know that, and we're happy with that. That's why we stopped trying years ago. The Charlotte Hornets. Does anybody ever talk about that?
No.
Dr. Crane, you know who the Charlotte Hornets are?
Yes, I'm familiar with them, but
okay.
Don't worry about it.
I'm just looking down. I'm like, they were on Sunday playing the Bulls, and I swear there's probably 80 people in the crowd. It's like a noon game. But is that a hapless franchise? I mean, I would go to baseball and like, well, the White Sox are hapless. Well, they won a World Series 20 years ago. So, you know, they're not hapless. But like...
Well, I think you have – now, here's what's interesting. You have hapless that just, like, you kind of forget they exist, and probably some people wish they didn't. And then you have the ones that are just – they had greatness at one point in time, and they just live off that. Like, the Chicago Bulls are a prime example of a team that –
yeah.
You know, they're living on 30 years ago.
Yep.
You know, and they have a great fan base, for sure. I just got back from Chicago. There's a ton of Bulls fans.
But right.
But it's like they also recognize that their heyday was 30 years ago. Are the Patriots about to go through that? I mean, they've kind of – I mean, it, no, you know, now that the Brady and Belichick era is done, like, is Vrabel going to be able to keep some of that going? I don't know.
Let me ask you this question. When it comes to baseball, hapless. The Pittsburgh Pirates, all right, their last title was in 79. Are the Pirates hapless, or do you feel sorry for them? Because the owner sucks. They don't spend any money, and they got a magnificent stadium. Like, Charlotte, to me, is hapless.
And they have a generational player now that they can build around.
Yeah, so I don't know how to put them
until the Yankees sign him and when he's eligible.
But I'm talking about a team that you don't talk about much. They never really do anything. In baseball, it's fluctuating so much up and down. The Athletics.
The Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, you can't see Kansas City. They're in the same division. Kansas City won a World Series.
Yeah.
What, in 15?
The Marlins.
Marlins are, yeah.
I mean,
but they've won two World Series.
They have, but like, both were the same circumstance. It's like, all right, you know what? Let's just buy it and get it over with.
Right. I guess so. I mean, to me, a little bit of that talk is always Seattle, but Seattle's had some, but they haven't been, but you still talk about them a little bit. I don't know. To me, nobody beats the Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, I feel like if you've won a championship in recent memory, then you're not hapless.
What do you go back? 20 years? 25. 25 is a generation.
Yeah, I'd say 25.
Okay. Yeah, like the Angels won in 02, so they're not.
Close your ears, Ricky, but the Reds?
Haven't won since 90.
I mean, and their problem is they get talent, and then they don't want to pay the talent. Right. They paid Joey Votto, and that was kind of it. And that was I like Joey Votto, but that was a bad contract.
It was. So I don't
baseball know. Is going to be interesting because the CBA is up after next season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be extremely contentious, and there's going to be a lockout. So, you know, probably going to miss a season, if I had to guess. And then baseball is going to look a hell of a lot different when it comes out on the other side.
Baseball, hapless. I just saw it. Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, they went to
appeared in a World Series.
In 07, got swept.
Matt Holliday.
Todd Helton,
yep.
Don Baylor. I think Dale Murphy played for them for a little time.
I think he might have been on the first team.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody tops Charlotte. They're the most hapless ones.
Yeah. NFL, Cleveland.
They get talked about so much, yeah, though.
And they have a loyal fan base.
It's a great one. Probably the Arizona Cardinals.
I was literally just about to say them.
They're never good. They're never good. They're a lot of promise. They've been to one Super Bowl, didn't win it.
Yeah.
I mean, you outside our bubble, are the Titans that way? I don't know.
That's probably true. That's a really good point. Speaking of the Titans, we have a few things to hit on with the Tennessee Titans. But
yes,
I heard something earlier that I was like, I have got to ask Joe about this.
Oh, okay.
If Cam Ward becomes this person, would you be okay with it? I will ask you that, and I will tell you who. Coming up next in hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.